Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Wrestling fans in the Philadelphia area or traveling to Philly for the upcoming WWE SmackDown and AEW shows. There's no better place to pre- and post-game than the Red Lantern in Fullcroft, Pennsylvania. 5 to 10 minutes from South Philly, it's the place to be with fun bartenders, great clientele, a relaxed atmosphere, and nearly any domestic or imported beer you could want. Joe, I know you like beer. And a huge selection of liquor. So stop by, grab a beer, play some songs in the jukebox, hustle your friend in the dartboard. Well, I don't want to condone gambling. And if being inside isn't your game, enjoy the air on the deck. So if you're in the area or visiting for a show, hit up the Red Lantern in Fullcroft, Pennsylvania, and tell them Disco Inferno, Conan, and Joe Feeney sent you. Plus, stop by and check out live pro wrestling on Saturday, September 26th, right in the parking lot, featuring Gangrel, BLKGs, Shockwave the Robot, and more. Support local pro wrestling, support the Red Lantern, and support keeping it 100.
Lance Storm.
He's on the list. Like, yeah, I what's going on with him and Vito?
I don't know what. So
Lance, I guess, does, you know, retro Nitro reviews. I think with Brian Alvarez, right?
Right. Yeah.
So okay. So
let's be honest, bro. Lance is turning kind of like a mark, you know.
Well,
he's doing retro Nitro reviews with the Dirt Sheet guys. I mean, come on.
Well,
I'll be honest with you. I would tell Lance you're kind of above that.
They're up to like the late 99 time period where Russo had first come in, and you know Alvarez isn't going to be happy with these shows, and Lance is kind of along the same lines. They didn't like that stuff. So Vito debuts in about November of 99, and Lance's criticism was Vito comes out.
Is this WWE or WCW?
This is WCW on Nitro. So Vito comes out, and actually I think he worked with you immediately, right, Disco? He came in as like a mafia thing, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, so he comes out with a microphone, and it's his first appearance, and he says, "I've gotten so sick and tired of you people lately." And Lance said, "Why would he say that? That's his first appearance. What does he mean he's sick and tired of them lately? He's never been here before." That was his criticism. And I guess I haven't seen Vito come back on him, but I did see Vito's wife, I think, taking some shots at Lance.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, Lance is on the list, so.
All right. For what? For you feel he's being a mark or a snowflake or what? Or for going in on Vito?
Lance is kind of a snowflake, and you know, bro, Lance is like the typical the echo chamber of like the anti-Russo crowd, and it's just it's kind of disappointing when a guy who got pushed like he did by Vince is going to be critical of the guy that pushed him like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just it's not something that a stand-up guy would do. You know what I'm saying? It's not something what a you know you can sit there say, hey, I'm, you know, I got nothing to say. I got nothing bad to say about Vince. He always took care. That's you know what? The funniest thing is Cyrus. When they've talked about Russo, you know what Cyrus has always said about him on the show?
No.
Vince always treated me well. That's what he's always said.
They worked together.
Yeah.
Oh, when he was in that Acolyte thing.
And TNA too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Like TNA. So he said Vince always treated me well. And so, you know, Lance doesn't. You know, Lance is just in that Meltzer. Alvarez echo chamber where they're just trying to discredit the guy's life. They're trying to discredit his work in the WWE is the funny thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the most comical part of that is that they're actually – but bro, they have a fan base of people that probably believe it because they didn't actually watch those shows. You know?
Right.
So they're fake.
I hope Lance hears this and beats your ass anytime you're in Canada. Jesus. How about
I'll just disagree with him on that. You know? Right. I mean, you know, I got nothing against Lance. I just think his position –
said he's a mark.
No, absolutely, 100%.
Make sure he gets
if he's on the Wrestling Observer, the Figure Four Weekly stuff, that's a mark site.
So
that's a mark.
That doesn't mean he's a
mark. I'm not. This is not a derogatory term. He's being a mark. You know,
make sure he gets
he's dirt sheet guys. So it's like that's fine. But you're not on this side of the curtain anymore. You know, you're on the other side of the curtain.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop
rocking. Come through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feet up. Greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot. Like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop. Straight boost.
I know Lance has got a lot of questions for you. I mean, you are among up there with, you know, Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. You're right up there in terms of the top talent we've had on this. So, Lance, you know, you got some good questions for our guest.
Well, I'm pretty sure Disco wanted to comment on the Kenny Omega Okada match from the Tokyo Dome, the infamous 6-star match. You took exception to, I think, a comment Cyrus made, and you wanted to address that. So I will allow you to do that.
Yeah, because you made a comment, Cyrus, that me – what was the comment that it's a joke. I'm hoping that me commenting on that match would be like Stevie Wonder. What was it? What was the exact
– Oh, I think I was pointing out that you giving your opinion on that match or judging that match was like Stevie Wonder judging a beauty contest.
Well, why would you think that though? None of, you know, because I've been a performer. I've been an agent.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped write television shows. I've helped produce segments. Everything. Why would my opinion be like, you know, why would you not consider that my opinion on that match would be something like that?
I would say that your opinion would be the same value as a Mark's opinion, but actually the Marks actually have an appreciation for that style of wrestling, and I don't think it's a negative, Glenn. I think it's like, you know, back in the day, guys like Bob Brown and Pat O'Connor would have hour-long matches with one bump in the middle and, you know, kind of very much that style. And I think that you come from a very different style. But, I mean, you know, walking and talking and all that, you were real good at that, that kind of lazier style. I mean, I just don't think you can look at that and have an appreciation for what you're seeing. You know, you don't take a person who's never had an education and is short-sighted and you take them to the Louvre and expect that they're going to enjoy the artwork. That's all. All I'm saying, I mean, it's not a personal comment.
Well, it's still professional wrestling. And I have, like, you know, I'm not a fan. I have not been a fan of Japanese style wrestling. And the quote unquote, and what a term that I just despise is a strong style professional wrestling, which to me just kind of like is a actually, it's like an expose of the business in that you're talking about like the style of wrestling that it is. It's not really actually a shoot. It's a style of working strong, which we could argue that, and that'd be a whole another show. But I'm not a fan of that. But I will say this, and maybe like you would probably be surprised at this, is I was very impressed with that match because I've not watched a lot of Japanese wrestling over the years. But what I did see that opposed to like some of the seen in the past was that those guys sold really, really, really well.
Yep.
And they didn't. And the thing that stood out about that match with me is it wasn't, you know, when I heard it was a 6-star match, I thought it was going to be like one of these where, you know, 800 false finishes and kickouts, you know, like the typical math equation wrestling match these days, you know, reverse finish kick, reverse finish kick, reverse finish kick, you know, just one of those, but they didn't do a lot. And like, they sold the stuff, the big moves, like you should. Lot. No, for the time they put in is what I'm saying. You know, like when I'm talking about, like, you know, they'd do a big spot and there wasn't a lot of big spots for how long was that match? 40 minutes? Or
47.
For 47 minutes. I mean, you think like a 47 minute match these days would have, like, you know, how many high spots would you think would be in it? You know, I like the fact that they didn't do a whole lot of high spots and they sold the ones that they did. It made it seem like they meant something, which, you know, you don't see a lot of that these days in a. And I think it's from the kind of like the way that the Ring of Honor style kind of like in its way into performance, where, like, you know, these guys just constantly do a bunch of false finishes, kick out of like they raise the bar so that all of a sudden these guys look like superhuman recovery ability they've been kicking out.
Yeah,
you know, like go ahead.
Well, I just think that, well, I agree it was a great match and sold well. I'm just noticing a lot of contradiction in what you're saying. You took exception to Cyrus's comment, and then you pointed out that you're not a fan of Japanese wrestling. You don't watch it that much. Yet you're saying that usually Japanese matches are this. You don't like strong style, but you're saying you don't watch it. It's like someone who might listen to a lot of country music but never listens to rap, going, oh, I hate that rap crap. And then you listen to one rap song, go, hey, this was pretty good. It's not like the rest of it. It's like it's having a knowledge and a base and experience in it. And I laugh at the strong style term too, because in my opinion, it's a mark term in a lot of ways. I've worked in Japan a lot, and it's not really, it's almost the work. It's convincing people that we actually work this stronger, more violent style, even though that it's not all that much stronger and violent. And then you get the fans like, oh, they're really hitting each other. It's better. It's like, yeah, cause we're working you. And it sounds like perhaps they worked you too.
Well, no. I think here's the thing about my criticism of Japanese wrestling, okay, is that I will never be a fan.
That wrestling you don't watch is your criticism.
No. Let's make it say. Okay, I've watched it, but I don't watch it regularly. Okay. Like I've seen enough of it. Like what I've seen a match here, I've seen a match, you know, over a period of time. I hear about these great matches. I'll watch it. I'm still not impressed. Okay, is what I'm saying. It's just that I don't like the fact that in a fight, two guys will stand in front of each other, trade forearms back and forth, and just where you're letting the guy hit you and just standing there and do that. Like that to me, when you map out the logic of a match, everything they do that looks good and everything, when you stop and do that in the middle of the match and everybody does that,
if you were in a real fight, use a swinging neck breaker.
No, but this is a real fight. I'd punch somebody.
But
you know, nobody does that anymore.
But often in
how many tours of Japan did you do, Glenn, in your career?
I did one show in Japan. Okay, for an actual group, I did. I worked tour Yuman.
For take an a actual my group, sport. What does that mean for an actual group?
Well, me and Henry Hubbard, I would do this. We do army based tours. So we wouldn't work in front. I wrestled.
So you wrestled in Japan, but never in front of Japanese people.
Well, exactly. I worked in the army bases. Okay, but I did work in Toriumon one time, and it was me and Tokyo Magnum, and Latin Lover. I guess, you know,
who booked you in a lucha match?
well, no, against those the Italian Connection. Those guys were called back then. This is back in mid 2004 maybe. But back to the point is like I'm never going to be a fan of that. You know, the guys are standing there just hitting each other in the head with forearms stuff. And the thing about it is that's kind of integrated its way into professional wrestling, because a lot of these guys that we see on TV are kind of much for the Japanese stuff. And you see, like, guys are getting away from the old school stuff that we grew up on, where guys were punching, kicking, you know, like old Smoky Mountain wrestling. You know, guys are fine. You know, I'm not a fan of that.
I would say, and Glenn, you and I may agree on this one point. I think that there's increasingly fewer and fewer people that can throw a proper working punch. And while I have a lot of respect for guys who, you know, and again, it's big show wrestling, so they're going to lay it in. But I think it takes a lot more skill to throw a really skilled working punch than it does to do a lot of the stuff you're talking about.
I'm not going to disagree with that. Like I watched the wrestling today, and it's like throwing a good working punch and selling a good working punch makes a really good match, because it looks like guys are fighting.
It takes years to develop it.
I'm just amazed, and I don't mean to come off like a troll here, Disco, but you're talking about how you want the matches to look more realistic, yet the majority of your career was dancing and fixing your hair. And that's where, again, the Stevie Wonder line comes from. It seems to be that you're judging and commenting on a style that you never did, and you're using your experience in the business as your credibility for your critique, and it just seems odd.
Well, the thing, though, I could do a gimmick, I could do a flamboyant character, but I make it look like to the people that are sitting in the stands that I can actually fight for real, because I can throw a punch. And when I'm kicking you, I'm trying to kick you hard. And when guys are hitting me, I'm selling it like I'm getting punched and kicked hard. That's, you know, that's what's lost today. Like today is like I watch these guys work. You know, I mean, this is what impressed me about the Kenny Omega matches, is they sold way better than like even the WWE guys. I did not expect to see them sell as well as they did, because they sold like you should sell with, you know, where you work when you sell. I watch wrestling these guys today. And like the typical sell is you act like you've been concussed briefly and you just kind of like lay there. You know, I watched a match a couple weeks ago where, you know, Braun Strowman was wrestling Sami Zayn, and just Sami Zayn was doing the sell the whole match. Like he just had been concussed and like been half knocked out. He would just lay there and get up and stuff. He never really showed like pain and agony.
Okay, yeah, but Disco, and I heard you review this or comment on this on your show, and I got so irate, I actually stopped the show and called several people to vent. It's like Sami Zayn is one of the best sellers in the business, and I disagree.
I'll categorically disagree with you, because I'll watch a match with you with him. I've seen him sell before. I'll watch that match with you, and I'll point out what I thought he was doing.
Okay, I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to throw up a Twitter poll, and I'm curious if fans agree with you. Who is the better seller in the business, Disco Inferno or Sami Zayn? And I'm curious, Disco, have you ever been hit by a man that outweighs you by 200 pounds as a shoot? I'm curious if you perhaps fell down an act or looked concussed when a 350-pound man hit you. I'm not sure what kind of selling you're supposed to do.
See a bunch of that.
No, I'm talking about really getting hit by somebody that big. You're saying he's not selling it properly because he's not showing pain. He's selling like he got knocked out. He's getting hit by a 350-pound man.
Here's the thing, and this is what a lot of the guys don't do these days. And it's not just Sami Zayn. It's just collectively most of these guys. Okay, is that? And if I got punched, I would sell the point of impact. I would put my hands up to the point where I got hit to make it look like my gut, like what people do when you actually get punched. If you get punched in the face, you reach up and grab your cheek.
Well, I would suggest that if I punched you, you might actually fall down and get knocked out. But
I'm a tough cookie. It would take you more than one to do that. So what I said.
So it might be the second one.
But no, but I'm just saying. I just, bro, we can argue this, and it's all subjective to people's personal opinions and stuff. We argue this, you know, but it's all subjective on people's personal opinions. If you go back and you watch like the late 90s wrestling, you watch a guy like Chris Benoit sell, you watch a guy like Raven sell, you watch a guy like me sell, you watch the way we sell, and watch the way the guys sell.
You're putting yourself in the same category as Chris Benoit and Raven as a worker?
Selling wise. That's why I got to be on TV for so long. Selling is a skill. And I was one of the better guys at it. My offense was not I wasn't as athletic. I didn't have a lot of offense. I had a gimmick and I sold well. Terry Taylor told me one time, he says, like, I'm more entertained watching you get your ass kicked than the guy kicking your ass. And like that's there's a skill.
That's what agents tell people when they want them to lose every week.
well, you know, I guess I did it well, but I mean, I got a good career out of it. But I'm just saying, absolutely, 100%. Right now, if I went on TV at 49 years old, I would sell better than 95% of those guys on the show.
Wow. Well, I'm going to put the Twitter poll up and see if people think you were a better seller than Sami Zayn is currently, because I have a sneaking suspicion you will not fare well in this poll.
who are you going to poll against? I mean, bro, this, you're talking about a 20-year gap in work.
I don't care. Most of the fans today were around in the Attitude Era. And this is where, too, you know, bring up, ask someone who's a better seller, Ricky Steamboat or someone today. People are going to remember Ricky Steamboat because Ricky Steamboat was actually really good at selling. So if fans don't remember you as a good seller, then you didn't do a successful enough job at it.
Well, Ricky Steamboat wasn't a really good seller. Ricky Steamboat was like the best. Okay. And that's like next level.
See? Ricky Morton, a long time ago.
They were like the best. You're talking about guys that were the best.
You're talking about you being so great and better than 95% of the people today. If you were better than 95% of the people today, I think people would remember you as a good seller.
Conan, you know what?
What up?
You glad that football's back?
Super glad, especially after so many great games.
It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron. And looking for us, that was just week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy part of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using code Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. Get in on the action now. This is very simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So download the DraftKings app now and use code Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes and enter code Conan to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code Conan, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy part of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And we are in for a great season because if Thursday night's game and Monday night's game and all the upsets we had on Sunday is any, you know, a foreshadowing of what's about to come, I'm super pumped. How did you do in week one, D.I.?
I went 3-0.
No, I did good. I won two bets and lost one, and that was on actually their sports book, but playing actual DraftKings, I didn't do so all right. Well. So,
all right, get your bets in at DraftKings. Boom.
If I told people today that I had a better dropkick than 95% of the people on the roster, I'm guessing some people are going to remember I had a pretty sweet dropkick. I haven't been on TV in 20 years. I would say.
What happened to the dropkick these days? A good dropkick looks good. Who really does that anymore? It doesn't seem like.
There's several of them on the show.
It was all over the Omega Okada match. There's some good ones.
He's got an incredible one. And that's that's another thing I liked about that match is when you hit a guy with a great looking dropkick, it looks like it's supposed to hurt. You know what you did. They sold it. So, in summation, with regards to that match, I mean, I think that's why that match stood out. It wasn't because of the athleticism and the spots he did. To me personally, it was because they sold better than most of the guys do these days, and that's why I thought it was a really good match.
As we're doing this, I was trying to find your Japan match with Tokyo Magnum. Now, what I've got here is on YouTube, Dancing Fools, Alex Wright, Disco Inferno, Tokyo Magnum. Is that what you're talking about?
No, that was in WCW.
Oh, okay.
It was a Tori Yumon match. Lance, I want to bring up something you said on last week's show.
Okay.
About when you had the show you did with Alvarez, was that last week's or the week before?
That was last week.
It was the last week with Alvarez, okay. And there was a category, I have to point out something, and I'm not saying that you said it an accurate thing because it was inaccurate, but I will say this. The story that you told about how that we were like just coming up with your stuff on the fly, that like booked you like the day of the show to beat Vito or something, like when we were giving you all three belts, okay? For the record, all of those decisions were made in the booking meeting. Whatever Vito told you, okay, may not have been an accurate interpretation of what he had been told was going to happen and him trying to spin something with you. So like that story that you told where Vito said he came up to you and said, hey, we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that, we're supposed to that was not that was not accurate because we 100% each week your stuff was cut and dry. It was booked and ready.
Each week, so it was done hours before the show. You were booking it each week, so you were booking it week to week.
No. When we'd finish TV on Tuesday, we'd go back to Atlanta and we'd meet on Wednesday.
But that's booking week to week. The one show's finished, and then you decide for the next. That's last minute booking, Disco.
Yeah, but that's organic, and it was sometimes organic works.
No, long term booking is where you have a vision, a direction, not just an idea of okay, what can we do on the next show.
Dude, organic is a nice way of saying unorganized.
No.
Mm-hmm. You okay, just see what grows. Oh, it's organic.
Do you think they had when the WWE threw Rocky Maivia out on the when they put The Rock on TV originally as a babyface, that the long term plan was The Rock.
But someone,
it's like, well, things change, and so something happens.
Someone else booking short term is not justification for your booking short term.
Yeah, but you're talking about new guys.
But we talked, and you didn't get
you,
to hear.
You were new. You were a new character. We don't have like a long term plan for a new character. We just had like, hey, let's get this guy over.
The long term plan
pushing this guy.
But you need to have a long term plan. That's what booking is all about. The term booking, again, to do it properly, you have a long term goal and you book backwards. Now you may vary slightly in the degree that which you go, but you don't just, that show's over. Let's come up with an idea for the next one. Because again, when you write a story, and I know authors that write books. It's like they don't just start with chapter one and see where the show ends up. It's like, no, they've got a plot. They've got an idea. As they write, things may change and vary, but there's a long-term goal. Planning on Wednesday for the next week is week to week. That's last-minute booking.
Glenn, to what extent are organic booking contributed to putting the biggest company in the world out of business and costing all of the boys money?
Well, first of all, we didn't put the company out of business. Okay, the company was, and this is the biggest fallacy, is that WCW was dead and buried before Russo ever came and started writing. The ratings stunk.
I never mentioned Russo.
Ratings isn't the issue, and that's the problem. Revenue was the issue. They canceled it because it was losing money, not because of the ratings. And your week-to-week booking was all just, we need ratings. You weren't getting paid for your rights fees. You were a company that needed to make money. And if you had long-term planning, maybe some of this shit would have drawn. And then they wouldn't have lost so much money. That's why WCW died.
Now this is where you have to understand. If you're given Vince's, the Russo's contract, him and Ed were paid on incentives based on television ratings. Period. So if I'm giving, if you're given a writing job, what are you going to write for?
I'm going to write.
So those are some alternate facts, but
no. We can argue that was not a good plan to give a booker that type of incentive based program. But if I'm going to write TV. And on this week, I need to increase my ratings. I'm trying to write a television show that's going to increase the ratings because that's how I'm getting paid.
But again, you're looking week to week. See, I would look long term and go, you know what? If I keep this company in business, I get a job for several years, not looking at a short term carrot dangled in front of me with a bonus incentive for a pop on a segment. It's not about cheap pops. It's about staying in the business long term and making money. And if people were looking at it smart. It's like, this company needs to make money so I can continue to collect a paycheck, not looking for a short-term incentive.
Yeah, but you have to, like, when you're writing television, you got to see what's working.
Glenn,
who was in
the booking room with you? Who was in there with it? It wasn't just you.
No, it was Vince and Ed.
Yeah.
Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
And Borash and Bill Banks would kind of, they're like, Bill Banks would say like two words a week.
Who'd Bill Banks ever beat in this business? And where did Borash ever draw a dime? I got a question for you. To what extent giving that group of people the keys to the castle for booking is akin to handing a chimpanzee a loaded AK-47?
What do you think? There's different ways you could look at it. From being in a booking room and being working with Jeff and Dutch, working with Vince, working with them, like, and like seeing other bookers having conversations with. The one thing I have to give that people don't understand. Is that when we would sit in the meetings with Vince? Vince was trying to come up with stories for everybody on the show.
That's one of the problems.
Because
to use a Jerry Jarrett line, how about try to get one person over instead of trying to get everyone?
Look at the boom in the business. When Hulk Hogan got hot, everybody made money because they focused on one main program and it got over. When Steve Austin got hot, everyone made money. When you try to do angles for everybody, it clusters your show. You have too many segments. And furthermore, and this is another thing that I actually discussed on a Jim Cornette show once, that if every single person on the roster is in angles, you can't step anybody up to be the new main event angle because we've already seen him in 15 angles. There's something about keeping people simmered on a back burner where you just have them get wins. They're not involved in angles. You just keep them strong so that when your top program needs something fresh, there's something fresh. When every single person on the show has angles, it overshadows everything else and nothing stands out.
I would agree with that if the show was a standalone show. But you had a show on another channel that's going on at the same time and people are holding a remote control in their hands. So, like, you can't just, like, sit there and say, like, okay, I'm going to book this show.
But again,
you have to sit there and look and say, there's another show on. If our show's not good, and if this segment is, as says, if two people come out of this segment,
they're not
over,
Disco.
Don't have a story.
Busy is not good. That's what you're missing. Viagra on a pole is not good. Judy Bagwell on a pole is not good. It's angles, it's stuff, it's ideas. None of it's any good. You put good matches on, and you get a couple of hot angles. It's even when WCW took off. It took off with one good hot angle that was focused, the NWO. Hmm? It wasn't with 47 different angles on a show.
And then what happened?
When it got to 47 angles on the show, it went out of business.
Here's the thing I would disagree. Okay, you could say that. It's easy to say if the writing is not good. Okay, and the writing is judged on based on how many people are watching your show. So
no, it's not. Writing is judged by how much money you make. It's a business.
Well, you're going to make money. The more you're going to make
ratings
more people,
are a pissing
money,
contest.
Yeah, but this is common sense. The more people that are watching your show, the more money you're going to make.
Only if those people are willing to pay for the product. Look at TNA. Exactly. TNA, when people stopped buying pay-per-view, they got in financial trouble. In WCW, when they weren't making any television rights fees, ratings didn't generate their money. Even though they were drawing millions of fans, no one was paying for the product. No one made money. That's the issue. You got to remember, this is a business. It's not a pissing contest over my rating. My segment got good ratings. It's good writing. No, it's not. It's got to draw money. It's got to sell.
But one is that's the thing, is we talk about drawing money. One is drawing money. If you have more people, if you have one show is doing a 5.0 and the other show is doing a 2.2, okay, the show that with the 5.0 is obviously going to be drawing more money because more people are going to be buying the pay-per-views. The show with the 2.2
TNA. When Scott D'Amore was booking TNA and they had crap, you know, Sportsnet channel, Fox Sports TV with no ratings, they were drawing more money on pay-per-view than you did at the end when they had 1.5 million viewers on Spike. Now, they had income because they were getting paid for the show for Spike, but WCW wasn't getting paid for their television ratings. So you have to draw money. Just because people will watch for free does not mean they're paying for the product. And you've got to look at financial numbers. And if you're not making money, it's not good writing.
Okay, well, okay, I'll agree with that. But I will say this, will we agree that the chances of your show not drawing as much money will increase with the decrease of your audience?
There is potential for that, yes.
Okay. Well, then we'll just agree on that then.
So you would agree then that some of the bad booking ideas of you and your cohorts at the end probably led to a large decrease in business, which led to the company going out of business?
I would say that the company probably...
If you had done a better job, possibly the company could have turned around and stayed in business.
Absolutely.
So basically, you're responsible because you guys were not competent at your jobs. Because if you had been, you just admitted that they would have stayed in business potentially. So
no. But if, first of all, there was a lot of people. Everybody would share the responsibility.
Yes, but you're one of those people that shared. We're not saying you alone, but you were part of the team that was responsible for not doing a good enough job to bring the audience back and draw more money.
Yes, absolutely.
You basically would agree that although it's not totally your fault, you're one-fifth to blame because there's five of you in that room. Does that keep you up at night at all? Do you go, I helped to create, I'm 20% responsible for creating a monopoly that when you look other guys in the eye, do you go, you know, if it weren't for me and the other four, you guys would all be making more money right now because there'd still be competition? Like, do you think about that at all?
Absolutely not. I will say that now it's time, because we've been on the show, we've had an interesting discussion, philosophical discussion, okay, on WCW and everything, on the Kenny Omega match, on the wrestling today. But I would like now for you to basically give me my apology that I've so wanted, that you so graciously said you would give me, that the other one wasn't sincere, but now it's time for you to apologize for all the foul things that you said about me, and let's leave this on a good note.
Yep, you know, absolutely, Glenn. And I think it's a long time coming, and I think it's time to bury the hatchet. So I would just like to say...
Hang on, Cyrus, before you get to that. We're pushed up against the break, the break in the middle of the show that we've got to take for podcast one. So if you can just sit tight for a quick minute, Disco, we're going to take this break so podcast one can insert their buffers and so forth, and we'll get back to you in a sec.
All right,
sit tight.
And now back to Killing the Town.
All right, we're back, but unfortunately, in the break, we lost Disco. I don't know what happened. I tried to reconnect with him, but couldn't. So unfortunately, Cyrus, it looks like your apology is going to have to wait.
Well, that's a shame. You know, I don't know what to say. I mean, we had him, and then it's like he hung up on us. It's actually, I find that kind of rude, don't you?
If he actually hung up, that's quite unprofessional. Yeah, we were ready to wrap up and deliver the apology that he wanted so much, and now he's not going to get it.
If you're in the Philly area or traveling there for the upcoming WWE SmackDown or AEW Dynamite shows, or if you're just vacationing and you're looking for the best cheesesteaks and hoagies in the area, look no further than Leo's Steak Shop in Folcroft, Pennsylvania. Now, the Pennsylvania area is known for their cheesesteaks. That's why they call them the Philly cheesesteaks. It's widely known across the country, featured on the Food Network. They've been awarded the prestigious Philadelphia Magazine's Best of Philly Award. Now, that's huge, because in our club in Vegas, we get the Best of Vegas Award every year. And there are multiple year winners of the Best of Delco Awards.
You know, Disco, they've also won the Tri-State Cheesesteak Championship.
So check out leossteakshop.com. That's LEOSSTEAKSHOP.com for further information.
Leo's is located at 1403 Chester Pike in Falcroft, PA. You can also reach them at 610-461-9901 or find them on Facebook.
Stop by, get yourself lunch or dinner. Wrestlers love this place, and famous athletes and celebrities have made it a stop as well. You will not be disappointed, but bring your appetite and let them know that Keeping It 100 sent you.
You guys talked about Raw already this week?
Yes, we did. Do you want to talk about... Let me take a wild guess what you want to talk about. Hmm. Just a wild guess.
You go right ahead.
The Mexican wrestler that went over Finn Balor.
Well, that's part of it. But talking about luchadors and the superstar shakeup, and, I personally did think it was really cool to see Almas on Raw. I get a little nervous about it because there has not really been a strong track record of booking luchadors on Raw. In the past, it seems like they've actually...
Hang on a second. I could actually see Kevin. This sounds like the type of promo that would be cut if Kevin was promoting his new organization, Lucha Lives Matter. you're looking to further the cause.
Of let me see if that URL is taken.
On here talking about how unjustly treated they are. The booking to Lucha Lives Matter.com.
Trademark that. Seriously though. We've always talked about WWE's track record when it comes to booking luchadors not even just booking them. To me, honestly, it's not even 100% about, why aren't there? It seems like they do themselves such a disservice by not taking these highly marketable Hispanic stars and actually doing something with them.
Here's what I'll agree with, and I think that you should point out that the WWE is probably probably inherently racist in their actions when they do this. So I could argue that, wait a second, what about the way they used to book Eddie Guerrero?
Because they book one guy right and everybody else wrong doesn't make them like they know what they're doing. Eddie kind of got over on himself.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Why do you think many African Americans were happy when Kofi won?
Because it's all the social justice stuff and everything. They're pretending that Booker T wasn't a five-time champion and that The Rock was a champion. Here's the point. Is that you could sit there and play it like that, but in the big picture, okay, and you look at every person on that roster, bro, over the course of a period of time, have a lot of guys been elevated to the top for a significantly decent period of amount of time?
I'm not even asking for top. I just like some decent mid-carder, out of these performers who are amazing performers.
You could look at the Latinos, but I would say look at the American wrestlers or the Caucasian, or look at the other wrestlers, because, bro, the same thing happens to them too.
Oh, no doubt. Nobody's denying that there's bad booking decisions or lack of meaningful pushes. To every race, color, ethnicity, gender, whatever. That's not the argument. My question was really, and it wasn't even an argument, my question was really, heading into this superstar shakeup, heading into, in the fall, bringing SmackDown over to Fox, given the pieces on the playing board, I was actually really surprised, given the pieces on the playing board, that you're going to move Rey and Almas over to Raw at this point, unless the plan is to move them back, because... Historically, on free television, that is where the biggest Hispanic numbers for wrestling has come from. When SmackDown was on free television in the 2000s, the Hispanic audience was huge for SmackDown. That's when Rey was the number one draw on that show, number one ratings getter for them on that show. And so it's weird to me that, one, they move him to Raw, and I just don't see anybody else necessarily coming up and taking their place on SmackDown. You know, they've got incredibly talented guys like Grand Metalik, who's done nothing since coming up.
Does he speak English?
To WWE. I don't think he has very good English.
Well, bro, this is a very simplistic problem. Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio speak perfect English.
Yeah, no,
very
but,
easy
but, yeah.
for the WWE to they were very 100%. Easy for the WWE to put on top. See, Almas can speak good English. Obviously, speaks excellent English.
Well, but again,
He's a guy that can be brought, that can be elevated.
Here's two things. You could put subtitles like Lucha Underground did, or like Impact does for Pentagon, or MLW does. Nobody complains about it, and you understand what the fuck he's saying. Or make sure that before you put him on the main roster, they know Spanish. Give him some Spanish classes. That's a WWE problem.
Well, you
know, they know these guys don't know Spanish. Plus, on top of that, there are no Latinos.
I mean,
no English.
English.
I'm not sitting here arguing that any of the current stars, Almas included, Rey included, or whatever, should be pushed to be world champion. I'm just saying there are not even strong mid-carders that stay strong for more than, you know,
but
one program.
That's the whole roster. This is the WWE.
Bro, the whole roster is look.
They provide you a machine of promotion and marketing to get you to go out there and make more money than you'll make anywhere else, because you have to wrestle more, but they pay more, and it's just, you know, it's just you'll make okay. more. But there's
who's
no
– Who's arguing that?
No, but saying you can look at the structure of this company and they're going for the past 10 years, and it's like nobody gets a promise of getting over, because they've shown that they don't really know how to do it anymore to get people really over. So every professional wrestler is stuck in that hole. All the Latinos, the Japanese, they're all stuck in the same structure. They don't know. So like, you're right. I think it's surprising when a lot of, you know, foreign wrestlers sign with WWE, because I'm like, look at it, going like, you know, why would you go there? You're not going to get over. They don't know how to push you if you don't.
Yeah, but that is true. But the other thing is, when you look around, whether it's Brock Lesnar or Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch or Seth Rollins or John Cena, it's mostly all whites that are being pushed. There needs to be more inclusion, and we're finally seeing it, albeit slow.
But I think to your answer, to your exactly what you said, D.I.
I'm going
to
get it to Joe. Are we going to get did you trademark that Lucha Lives Matter? Because I think that would be a good t-shirt for us to wear next week on this. For the Kevin – we'll call it the Kevin Kleinroth segment.
Why aren't you in character anymore during the Lucha segments? Señor Guapo Inteligente used to come here all the time. What happened to him?
He lost his mask.
What?
Wow.
And also, you know, for me, the lifestyle there played a part for me, because – to me, and I'm not saying it's for everyone, not everyone's opinion, it's just my experience, is a very toxic company.
Right.
In terms of, you know, you need to have a healthy mental state to live. And for me, I was living my life mostly, that was my life. You have to give your life to that company. And when you do, you know, you just don't want to live in misery. Well, like, why? Why would I be miserable? The whole point of living is to be happy.
Right.
So I just...
And the other thing I wanted to say is, because, you know, Disco lived it in WCW too, is like, you know, when you're back there, you can read about it, but until you're really back there, you have no clue of how the politics, unnecessary filters, the bullshit, the games, the, you know, even when I broke in, you know, there was still a lot of racism, subtle and outwardly. When you came in, there was racism with women, and, you know what I'm saying? Not racism, but sexism.
Oh, I think there's still racism. There's still sexism, racism.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a women's revolution going on right now, but I believe that that's because of the.
So how is there sexism?
Oh, I mean, in real.
Oh, but seriously, here's the thing: we've given the women have been like given like the a million the opportunities that they're being given right now. To me, just shows that there's literally zero sexism in professional wrestling today, and especially in WWE. Let me ask you a question. Well, how would you?
Why don't you let an actual woman answer that?
Let me ask a specific question. I'm gonna reply to that statement. Okay,
though,
but let me ask specifically though. Okay. How do you define sexism, and where do you see it in the WWE right now?
Well, I see sexism as in Vince's eyes, I don't think he truly believes men and women are equal. Not in his. He's a public company. There's investors. you know, there's this huge women's revolution or evolution going on in all of entertainment since, you know, Me Too and everything. And then the fans demanded it, you know, on social media. So at some point, Vince is going to have to be public and give the public what they want to a degree. It doesn't mean that he actually has those beliefs, you know, just like the racism, as I said, you know, and I truly believe, and I know probably he doesn't think he's racist, but I think he's just ignorant to the fact that he was brought up with those beliefs and he doesn't even know. I think he thinks that because he employs people of ethnicities and different nationalities, I think he thinks that he's not racist because of that. But I can guarantee you, in his mind, he doesn't think these other races are equal to the white, to Caucasians.
Wait. So I gotta argue this with you, all right? You have a perception that, yeah. This is my problem with racism, okay? And the perception of it. You have a perception of it, okay? I need you to explain that perception to me, because if I don't
I see have it, certain because, stories
listen, here's it, from, because here's I the thing. Stories. If I can't see it, does it really exist?
Okay, you know? Gail, tell your story, but I want to give him a perception too that he does at his club.
Go ahead.
There's a law or a policy at Sapphire's, all right? You know he works at a gentleman's club, right?
Yeah.
That if you dress a certain way, you can't come into the club. That's a perception, Glenn, because I dress like that. And if I were to go in your club, I wouldn't start no shit.
Okay, well, don't dress like a gangbanger. Because what we're saying is we have a profile of people that have caused problems. And one of the things we can identify by the way people have caused problems is the way they've dressed.
Not everybody that dresses like that is going to be violent by nature, correct?
Correct. Well, you know what are you supposed to do? Vent every single person that comes to the club?
Let's put it this way: don't dress like this.
It's that simple.
Okay, Glenn. What if famous individual that was a celebrity came dressed like how Conan was dressed? Would they let that person in?
Probably, yeah, because we know these people and like these are people that, you know, it's in further. Here's the thing. All the clubs in Vegas do this. This is not just our club. OK, every club in Vegas has a dress code. OK, and the reason they do the dress code is because basically they want, if you go to Vegas 15 years ago, people dressed wacky and wild. OK, they've toned it down because basically there was like a drug culture in the clubs and stuff. And people looked like, you know, there was this. So basically you could. It is profiling, okay? But you're talking about profiling, not talking about profiling of like sending somebody to jail or arresting people. You're just profiling people that might cause trouble in your club, and all you're asking them to do is to not dress a particular way. That's it.
Okay.
Just say, hey, you're coming in my club. It's just like going to work. You got to wear it. The dress code at our club, at the clubs, is no different than you working for somebody and saying you got to wear a coat and tie at work. It's literally no difference.
But same thing. Just as your celebrity, they could start some shit in there. You know, what's this, Pac-Man Jones? Didn't he have some problem at a Vegas strip club?
He was in the club like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, there was a shooting when he was there back in the day.
Bro, he was in the club like 3 weeks ago getting bottle service stuff. No, of course.
So, Gail, tell your story because you never got to tell it to
Glenn. I already forgot. This is what happens. I said I have – perfect examples that I can't say to the public, but I know of things where Vince has said racist. I mean,
yeah, racist. I've heard it too. So you're right.
Okay, but all right.
So you know, it's a very common occurrence. So,
bro, imagine this.
But here's the thing,
Gail. Let me just say this, Gail. Imagine this. If you're racist, which obviously is not accepted in today's society, so you want to keep that shit on the super down low. You know, like not like Hogan got caught, you know, now he's like, oh, I didn't mean to say it. Well, motherfucker, you know, that I'm sure that's not the first time you said it. But the bottom line is that now these people that are in positions of power, you know, now they're not, this isn't just going, not being invited into a club. This is your whole career. You know what I'm saying? That they're messing with because, of, you know, they're culturally insensitive. And I've heard, Vince, imagine how racist you are if you say racist shit in front of other people and think it's okay. And he's done that before because I have firsthand stories of him doing that.
Today's episode is sponsored by our friends, our good friends over at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming.
Yep.
It's back to school time. We want to make sure you pack the essentials to have the best year yet.
The Manscaped 4th Generation Performance Package is just that. Things are opening up. Be ready for whatever it is in the daily schedule for you. It's the perfect package for your package and includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Fellas, go for the Valet Dictorian of ball trimming and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-E-A-P-E-D.com with the code K100, K100. So school is back, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to teach the body a lesson on male hygiene. We know how important male hygiene is, especially for people that watch wrestling.
For sure.
Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, plus two free gifts, Performance Boxer Briefs, and the Shed Travel Bag. This package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0 and will give you the confidence to do anything you desire. New year, new you. You might screw around and attend Smoothballs University this fall. Wait a minute. Is that a thing? That's not a real thing. That's just a bad joke. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also allows you to shave your pencil down and customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. So you can trim the hair down there, and they give you a bunch of different, like...
clips.
Yes, the different clips to put in. It works, okay? It works good, too. It's a great... And it's a very smooth shave.
And the great thing is, if you're a female, you can put anything from a landing strip to a Dorito chip to the Hitler's mustache. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put anything down there. Nothing.
Yeah, the Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor and a new multifunction on and off switch can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for more precise shave. This thing's like state of the art. It looks like a futuristic, you know, like weapon thing, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I mentioned this thing is waterproof too. Excellent. You can use it in the shower as the shower is going. Mm-hmm. You can shave. It's ridiculous. So the package also comes with the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. I know you probably need this.
That's very important. Get that nose hair out of there and fix your eyebrows, man. Women look at that.
Yeah, the Weed Whacker is also waterproof and a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. You know what I'm talking about. So after trimming your pubes and cleaning your holes, show them some love with the Manscaped liquid formulations. Now, these are the two most important ones, right? The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner are here to get you ready for class during the day and ready to party at night. Basically, it keeps you fresh down there. You never know when you might need to be fresh. If you're on a date with the ladies and like it comes to where you're going to have to expose those things, you want them to smell good. And Manscaped also threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0. Conan's favorite, the Manscaped Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag. One is a comfy front pack for your balls, and the other is a backpack for your goods. And trust me, this underwear is tremendous. I usually buy Boss underwear, but the Manscaped underwear is just as good. Very comfortable. Just great fit. That's all I wear now. Manscaped and Boss.
Let me just say before you hit the end here that two of the things not mentioned in our ad this week, but that I definitely wanted to put over, is the Manscaped Refined Cologne. I use it. I wear it. I've had friends go, oh, what is that? And go on their phones and immediately order it. And there's also the foot duster spray, which you spray on your feet or in your shoes to keep the foot odor away as well. Equally as important as keeping your nose, hair, and eyebrows looking sharp.
So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. This year, graduate with a degree in clean balls from Manscaped.
Yo, let me just add to this. Not only is it convenient, just like Disco said, with the light and waterproof and very aerodynamic to hold and the leather case and the briefs, which are incredibly comfortable and everything else that comes with it. And they're high quality. If you buy another one, okay, you can also shave your face. You can shave your hair, your chest, under your arms. Women can use it. I mean, everybody shaves except German women, right?
Right.
Nothing. So, I mean, go out there, get your Manscaped, you know, keep everything neat, keep everything groomed. Check it out at manscaped.com. Boom.
All right, everybody, we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, for the last five seasons, my next guest has played Allison Parker, one of the many dysfunctional but gorgeous residents of Melrose Place. Please welcome Courtney Thorne-Smith. You're sick and you're all over her like a bare rug. Just leave her alone.
No, no. You know, because before, during the commercial, I was saying I had a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
And then you said you did too.
I said I did. When you were on Day by Day, I developed this big crush on you. And this whole talk show is a scheme to get you here.
I liked it when she was on the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. Not the Tomorrow Show, but the Later Later Show.
He says to me in the break.
You have no idea who I am.
Yeah, no, I know from that show. That's all.
He says to me, oh, I really like her. I saw her. I really think she's great. I really have a crush on her. And I said, where, you know, you saw her at Miller's Place? He said, no, I was watching Tom Snyder, and she was on, and she was a great guest. And I said, wait a minute, that's the show that's opposite our show. Why weren't you watching our show, pal?
Because I wasn't on it that night.
All right, stay. This is we have exciting stuff to talk about. You've been on this show, Melrose Place, for 5 years.
For 5 years.
And now you're leaving. Why are you leaving?
It's time. You know? I mean, how many times have you been fired, rehired, drunk, sober?
I understand. Thank you. Yes, I see. You mean you got tired of, like, because they had your character pretty much go insane. You know, go through all these really weird...
Allison has been through so much. I was sexually harassed, carjacked, had an affair with a married man who then tried to rape me and then shot himself while on the phone with me. I was drunk, sober. While getting sober, though, I got to have an affair.
Did he do all that stuff while on the phone with you, or just shot himself?
Addict.
Wait, I'm curious.
No, I was on the phone in the office, which makes it really awkward.
All right, okay.
And he was in Seattle, and he shot himself...
Oh, my God.
While he was on the phone. I know.
Yeah. And so you finally said there's no more that this character can do, right?
I can't do any more. I've been married and divorced and widowed, and it's too much.
What's going to happen in the season finale? Can you give us a tip for all those fans out there? What's going to happen?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
You'd be mad at me.
Good night, everybody. We had a good time. No, I mean, but what? Give us some sense of, like, is it one of those? Because every year they try and have a season finale where everybody gets into a Zeppelin and blows up, you know? Something.
Well, now you've given it away.
It's a Zeppelin. It's a Zeppelin. All right.
Are you talking about Melrose Place? No, because I...
You're the biggest ass I ever met. I love you for it.
No, because I swear to God, and when I lived in L.A., I lived on the actual street called Melrose Place. There's an actual street.
There's a Melrose? Is there really a Melrose Place?
There's really a Melrose Place.
Okay.
You know this, right?
Yes, it's true.
So they opened a restaurant called Melrose Place on it, and then it's right beside my house, and every time I go out, there's all these, like, tourists, and these tourists, like, they're always fat, and they're taking pictures, standing in front of this restaurant.
Uh-huh. Yeah? Well, thanks for the help, pal. He'll get over it. You'll see. Now, I gotta ask you about this because we brought you. Shut up. That makes it all right. Well, I want to talk to you about something, because this came up earlier in the show accidentally, because I didn't know what Norm was going to talk about tonight, and it's best sometimes if I don't know. But he mentioned Carrot Top. You are making a movie with Carrot Top, right?
Made a movie with Carrot Top.
Okay. You made a movie with Carrot Top. It's not out yet.
No, it's not.
Can you put the picture
yet.
Up of Carrot Top again just so we can all see him?
She just did.
Oh, there it is again, yeah. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. She left Melrose Place to do a movie with Carrot Top?
That's where I'm going, my friend. This begs the question now, why a movie with Carrot Top?
Why a movie with Carrot Top?
I mean, no, I don't know much about Carrot Top, you know? I don't know much about him. I'm a little jealous because he's a red-haired comedian, and I felt like maybe you'd do a movie with me first, then move on to Carrot Top, then to Ralph Mao from Happy Days. You know, sort of the three. There's an order in which you do movies with the redheads. What's he like, first of all?
He's extraordinarily sweet.
Nice guy.
He really is. And mm-hmm. he worked very hard, and he was adorable.
And he works with a lot of props and stuff, too, right?
Not in the movie.
Oh, in the movie they took his props away?
They took his props away.
That's a bad time to suddenly take away everything you know about comedy. You know, you've been using props now all your life for comedy. Now we're going to take them away when you make your first movie. Was he okay, though, with it? He was cool?
He was great. He did a wonderful job.
Do you have a scene where you and him embrace?
Yeah, lots of making out.
Oh, for God's sake.
Nothing but making out.
All right.
It's like 9.5 weeks, but carrot top. Basically, what we were doing.
Wow. I got to check out that movie.
Is it called 9.5 seconds? Like he's premature ejaculating.
We got it.
You know what happened? This is what happened. You know what happened? He said 9.5 seconds, and I'm looking at him because I know there's more. And I wait and wait, and I see the glimmer in the eye, and then bang! I thought you were going to, but no. But what's the movie going to be called?
Well, really? I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
I'm in it, too.
She's in it.
What about my career?
Courtney Thorne Smith, the girl sitting to your left, is in the movie.
I'm going to go see it for Courtney.
How do you steer everybody else away?
No, I love this girl. I would see any movie with this girl in it. She's a beautiful lady. And a talented, nice talk show guest. Okay.
As evidenced by her appearance on our rival show. All right, well, there's this 2-hour season finale of Melrose Place. There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the Board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Now we're gonna have Collective Soul in a second. Courtney Thorne Smith, we hope she's still our friend. We do love you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.